week. Let's welcome in State Senator Mike Jacobson. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, great, guys. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Doing well on this Monday. How was your weekend? I expect you spent some of it maybe in Hershey.
Spent some time in Hershey, but went on and were part of the parade, and we were joined by Miss Nebraska, so we really dressed it up this time, and also had Brooklyn and McKinley Wolfskill, a third and fourth grader from Hershey High School. They're Amy Wolfskill's daughters, and they helped me with my campaign, so I thought it'd be appropriate that they ride along with Miss Nebraska. They were also part of the Little Sister program, so we had royalty on board. So I had four really lovely women in my vehicle with me. So it was a great weekend.
Great weekend. I know they have a nice parade there at Hershey, and weather-wise, it had to have been, man, amazing. That's got to be one of the better Hershey Fall Fests for weather you can ever ask for.
That's exactly right, guys. I think the temperature got up like 75 degrees. It was no, just a little breeze. Boy, it was just perfect. Trying to dodge the Hershey football players with their water guns was kind of a challenge out of the gate, but we got through it okay, and only had to wipe the car off once, so I was in pretty good shape. But they all had a good time, and it was really a great parade, as it always is. They do a wonderful job over there, as do so many of the parades we go to. It's a big deal. There's always great turnout, and it's just, for me, it's always an opportunity to get out in front of people and visit with people along the way and find out what's on their minds. And so I enjoy those things.
Husker Radio's Mugs of the Morning here, please. And we're joined again with Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson for District 42. You're joining us on the phone because you're in Lincoln today.
I am. It's actually a regional meeting for the Federal Home Loan Bank of Topeka. They're a wholesale bank that provide funding for commercial banks across the about a four-state region, and I've been on their board for several years, and I was down here over the weekend. I spent some time in the office. It was kind of interesting. I was in the office last week and made a special trip home to get to Hershey for the parade, and then we were back here yesterday for the air show, and then this meeting today, and I'm back for a meeting in North Platte this evening, so it's a lot going on.
Yeah, I traveled through Lincoln over the weekend, and I saw the signs for the air show, and then I saw some pictures from the air show. The Blue Angels were in town, and you got to see that, right?
Yeah, it was quite a show.
Very good. State Senator Mike Jacobson here. Let's talk about your upcoming column. I know is on the Epic Tax. Tell me about the Epic Tax.
Well, sure. I had not really planned to spend a lot of time on it, but I've had a few questions on it, and so I thought I might give some color on it. EPIC is the acronym for Eliminate Property, Income, and Corporate Taxes. So that's what the acronym stands for. Really what they're trying to do is do a ballot initiative to put on the ballot, and understand it would be a one line, because when you do ballot initiatives, you don't give a lot of detail. You just give one direction to the legislature, and that would be that you would want to eliminate from the state constitution property tax, income tax, and both corporate and personal. So all that would be left would be a consumption tax and an excise tax. That's all that would be out there. And a consumption tax is basically a sales tax. You would be paying taxes on certain sales. That always gets a little dicey in terms of how you treat business inputs. And, of course, there are websites out there that say, if you pass the EPIC tax, here's how it would work. And I would just tell you that that's pure speculation, okay? Because the one-liner that would be on the ballot would be you would turn it over to the legislature to make the rules, just as you found with the last ballot initiative on voter ID. You don't give the details of how it works. You turn it over to the legislature. They have to work it out and decide what the rules are actually going to be. Keep in mind that no other state has ever tried something like this. So we have nothing. We'd have nothing to work off of. It's all speculation at this point. The concerns that I have, and trust me, I hate the level of property taxes that where they're at, and that's why the legislature's worked hard the last 2 years now to take steps to lower property taxes. One way we've done it is by providing a property tax rebate to taxpayers who pay taxes for public school taxes, property taxes, which is the biggest tax asker, if you will. And then at the same time, we've eliminated this year going forward, we're going to eliminate community colleges from being on the tax rolls, except to eliminate the bonds that are out there today. And we also allocated $309 million to public schools of additional money with the intention that that would offset any increases and actually decrease the amount that they would be asking in property taxes going forward. And this would be an ongoing $309 million a year would be out there, and it could go higher. And there would be $1 billion in the fund to make certain that we can continue to fund that. So those are the steps that the legislature's taken to reduce property taxes.
Okay.
But certainly they're still too high. But I want to give you some things to keep in mind. If you look at a consumption tax or a sales tax, let's keep in mind that the current state sales tax rate is 5.5%. Those that are promoting the EPIC tax are saying that the EPIC tax would be 7.5%. But it would bring in all services, and there'd be different carve-outs out there. So everything would be taxed with the exception of food. Okay?
Right.
And they're saying the rate would go from 5.5 to 7.5. Well, let me give you some numbers to think about first. Currently at 5.5%, the state collects, this has been 2021 numbers, 2021-2022. Sales and use taxes collected by the state was $2,133,000,000. Okay. Individual income taxes collected were almost $3.2 billion. Significantly more collected in income taxes than sales tax. And if you look at all taxes, it was right around, it would be closer to $6 billion that the state brought in. When you then go back and add in how many property taxes were collected, well, that's another $5 billion. So we're going to take that $5 billion, this $3.2 billion in individual income taxes, $750 million in corporate income taxes, and we're going to replace that with a sales tax where we currently collect $2 billion. So I have a hard time believing that it's going up 2%. I think the state chamber estimated the EPIC tax would have to be somewhere between 15 and 20%. And that, again, it would depend on what all is included. I'd like to give a simple example on how this could work is, let's assume now that a couple wanted to buy a $300,000 home, a new home. Well, if they bought a $300,000 home, and let's say that they put 10% down, the minimum amount down, put 10% down, they'd still have to pay private mortgage insurance if they did that. Let's say they put 10% down. That would mean they'd have to come up with $30,000 in down payment. Then at the same time, they would have let's assume the EPIC tax is 10%. Then they would pay another 10% in consumption tax. That'd be another $30,000 that had to come up with at closing. But then, let's keep in mind that they would then have a $270,000 mortgage. So if you have a $270,000 mortgage, then you'd pay a 10% tax on the mortgage, the new mortgage. That'd be another $27,000. So now we're looking at $87,000 at closing plus normal closing costs. So you're looking at about $100,000 in a down payment at closing to buy a $300,000 home, and you'd only have $30,000 of equity.
I was going to say,
you'd have no way to borrow that.
Right.
So that would be a real killer in terms of home mortgages and home buying. The other side of the coin I think we need to keep in mind is, where does this money go? Well, this money would all be collected by the state. And then according to the iterations of bills that have been brought to the legislature for a consumption tax, what they've said is there would be a board that would be appointed by the governor. But then they had, well, this board could be two, there could be two boards, one to oversee public school funding and one to oversee all other taxing authorities. So think about this. Every taxing authority in the state of Nebraska would have to submit their budgets to one of those two boards. And they would have to review those budgets and then decide how much money was going to go back to fund those budgets. So, number one, I'm not sure it'd be physically, whether it'd even be physically possible to review that many budgets from October, you know, and until it's time to until the end of the year. So how would you get all those budgets reviewed? And then even if you did, let's think about us out here in western Nebraska. If you look in the western half of the state, how many dollars in consumption tax would we generate? And particularly think about the smaller villages. How many dollars in consumption tax would they generate? And then how many dollars would their taxing authorities be requesting to fund their budgets? And I would argue that you'd probably be looking at 10 or 20 times the amount of money to fund your budget. Do we really believe that an appointed board or boards in Lincoln are going to say, hey, that's not a problem, we'll give you 10 times the amount of money that you're generating in revenue?
Right.
You know, I don't think they would. And so all of a sudden you give up all local control. So those are the concerns that I have. Am I opposed to having sales tax take a bigger portion of this? No, I'm in favor of that. I think that years ago, when the sales tax came in, we were looking for sales tax to generate a third of the tax burden, property tax a third, income tax a third. Well, we can see that sales tax is well below a third. You know, property taxes is the highest by far, followed by income taxes, followed by sales taxes. So it would seem to me that we need to do work on trying to generate additional sales tax revenue that could be routed to reducing property taxes, which would mean that perhaps more of these taxing authorities that are funded by property taxes today need to be directly funded, like we're proposing for the community colleges, and get them off the property tax rolls altogether. Probably the only way we're really going to get to the point where we need to be. But that's just some thoughts that are out there.
And you mentioned that we would be the first state, we're the first state to try this as well. You know, I don't know if you always want to be the first. You certainly probably don't want to be the last on a good idea, but sometimes it's pretty risky to be the first when you have no other guidelines from a different state who's tried it.
Well, there's an old saying in business, you can be on the leading edge or you can be on the bleeding edge. And I think this would put us on the bleeding edge. It's always great to have somebody try it, figure out what they did wrong, and then fix those things before you try it on your side. But in my mind, this idea that we're going to put in the state constitution to eliminate all these other forms of taxes really ties your hands. It would seem to make a lot more sense to me that we come up with a plan that shifts, which is what this is a tax shift. So, because we're not talking about raising more taxes, we're just figuring out who's going to pay it. And, I mean, we don't really know who's going to pay it. We've got an idea. But all the promoters talk about is how much we're going to save you in taxes. But they never come back and say who's going to pay it. And I always like to ask the question, if we think the people that are going to pay it are people that are mobile, then what keeps them from just leaving the state and then they don't pay anything? And then how does that work? And if you have no other way, no other backstop, then you're going to be forced to have to stick with raising that rate as high as you need to raise it in order to produce the revenue you need, or there'll be drastic cuts, I mean, gargantuan cuts, which would likely mean school consolidation, county seat consolidation, and significantly lower spending on rural roads and highways, because I don't think anyone believes seriously that Lincoln and Omaha are going to short themselves. So those are where my concerns are at. I'm right on board when joining people in that property taxes are too high. I just don't think this is the right solution at this time. I think we can take some ideas from it, but I think this would be very difficult to work with, and I'm not sure people would like the outcome, even though it sounds good.
State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us here on Husker Radio's Mugs in the Morning. Well, you've worked through, I think, most of our area festivals and parades and such. Is there any more?
You know, there's a couple more. There's Wellfleet.
Okay, and yeah, you're right.
Wallace, but,
yep.
But they're both going to be on Husker football games, and so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make those. I did go to Wallace last year. We went to that parade, and they have theirs on the same weekend every year, and it's a great parade. I mean, I really enjoyed it, but it was right on top of the Nebraska-Oklahoma football game. So I kind of hated missing that, and so I am kind of locked into the home football game. So I'm going to figure out another way to get down to those communities than in the parades, I think, at this point.
All right. Well, and I guess that begs the question, what's Thursday going to look like for the Huskers?
Well, we're planning to go, so we're planning to be in Minnesota for the game. And, you know, I've been very, very cautious. People have asked me, as you know, I'm a big Husker fan, and every year I've come in very, very optimistic that this is the year, this is the year it's going to happen. And don't get me wrong, I really think that Coach Rhule was the right hire, but I think I'm among so many that say, you're going to need to prove it to me. Because right now, I just don't know. I'm optimistic. I think Minnesota is favored. If we could go up to Minnesota and get a win, we seem to be a fairly strong, I think, consensus favorite against Colorado the following week. And so if we could get a win in Minnesota, that would really set this team up and I think give the team the confidence that they need, because I think part of it is when you lose all those close games, you just lose confidence and you just, you know, it becomes a mental thing. And anybody that spends a lot of time around sports knows that the mental part of every game is a big part of the game. Maybe not as much as the physical, but pretty close. So it all makes a difference.
Absolutely. Well, looking forward to it on Thursday. Mike, thank you so much. We'll hopefully talk about a Husker win on Monday next week when we see. Are you going to be in studio next weekend's Labor Day, so I guess we won't have you in Monday. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks then, I guess, huh?
We should, and I think we should be around. And I got to meet Jack last week, so I'm going to look forward to spending some time with him. And I don't know what you got Rick doing, but it must be getting tough. He's taking Mondays off now, so we'll have to get him back in the studio.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Mike. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, gentlemen. See you later.